Turn in Mark's Gospel to the 10th chapter of the Gospel, beginning at verse 46, to hear the story of Bartimaeus. Hear God's word. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we have read the Scripture and hear your word, we may hear with joy what you are saying to us today. Amen. A little piece in BuzzFeed.com suggests that kids shouldn't believe everything their parents tell them. For instance, one father told his daughter that people get to speak only 10,000 words per month. And on days when his daughter is particularly talkative, he warns her. He says, "Hey, be careful. I think you're over 9,000 already." Creative parenting, right? Or another parent, a father, who told his kids that pears were apples from outer space. He apparently didn't like pears. Bartimaeus, however, must have been the kind of son who believed everything his parents told him, especially about the coming Messiah, the son of David. Bartimaeus took his place in the ancient town of Jericho as Jesus passed through. I think we can envision what happened to him on that day. Jericho is downhill from Jerusalem, roughly 15 miles. Like all ancient Judean towns, Jericho is a bland color. There are a few palm trees, little irrigation, and cultivated land around. But the town itself and the hills surrounding it are any different hue of brown, not very colorful. Everything is dusty. And Bartimaeus had a daily habit of sitting in the dust by the side of the road in order to beg. Bartimaeus came here every day. He knew the steps by heart. He had to. He was blind. He had to know by touching and feeling his way there. He had no hope except the charity of others. He had no value to society, nothing he could do to even earn a small slice of living. In a way, it cost the community to keep him alive. He had heard of Jesus just as people today have heard of Jesus. The word is, he's a great preacher, and he's a healer, and he just may be the next king that God has appointed for God's people. He didn't know that for sure, but he did know Jesus was coming through his town, and he didn't want to miss him. No newspapers or television reporters were around to share the itinerary of Jesus. So it just so happens that one spring day he was passing through Jericho, and Bartimaeus was in his usual spot, and there was a lot of noise. Some books estimate maybe 1,000 people were traveling with Jesus to the Passover in Jerusalem. And they were in the city of Jericho. And on the way, He's teaching. He answers questions that people ask him. He poses questions for them, as rabbis did in those days. They walked and they taught. His teachings were somewhat strange. He told esoteric stories, somewhat mysterious. He didn't just lay out the simple truth of the story. But he's leaving town, and it doesn't say this in the gospel, but he could have been ushered through town with the mayor and the city council. He was kind of a celebrity. And if he had wanted the key to the city of Jericho, they probably would have handed it over to him. Bartimaeus is in his daily humiliating smudge of Jericho's dirt and dust. You know the little character from the Charlie Brown strips? Like Pigpen. That's the kind of character I picture Bartimaeus to be. And he catches snippets of the conversations around him. He hears that Jesus is coming nearer. He didn't know this morning when he tapped and felt his way to his old spot that Jesus would come so near him. But every minute of every day is spent asking for pity and a handout from other people. He thinks about every day, every moment, what he can do to lift himself out of this darkness. Without a thought about the others around or what others might think, he takes his chance and he takes no half measures. He shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd, maybe 1,000 or so, according to estimates, shuffles by, drowning out his voice. So he has to say it a second time, probably louder this time. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Everyone's excited about what this Jesus might do for them. He might return Israel to its nationhood. He might kick the Romans out. And you can hear someone in the crowd saying, "Hey, you, quiet there. Shut up or I'll bop you one." Kind of something like that. One chance in an entire lifetime to be healed, no matter the humiliation that's drifted down year by year like another layer of dust, the blind beggar reaches up through any impediment and calls to Jesus. So undecorous, so improper, so un-Presbyterian of him. Who is to receive mercy? It wants to be Bartimaeus. He's worthless, kind of a leech on society. Life would be better for everyone if they didn't have to pass by his irritating requests every day. But there are 30, 40, 50 people separating him from Jesus. How does he get there? Except shouting at the top of his lungs. Jesus hears him. And he stops the spontaneous parade in the middle of the street. And he peers over the heads and shoulders of others in the crowd. And he sees Bartimaeus. This is God's way of looking at us. He has a strong gaze that separates the person from the crowd. Jesus sends this surprising message: "Call him here." Jesus summons Bartimaeus, so the crowds part and they send him. They say, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And the blind man tosses off his cloak, springs up, goes to Jesus. I can imagine the hands of the crowd kind of pushing him forward in the direction of Jesus. Not a lot of chit-chat on Jesus' part when they come face to face. Bartimaeus already has his attention, so he says to the beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" Isn't it obvious, Jesus? His eyes look like snake eggs. They're white and glazed over. He has to feel his way everywhere he goes. He's begging in the dust of the street. Only Jesus can know the full meaning of what Bartimaeus' answer is. He says, "Rabbi, I want to see." What does that mean? Does it mean that he just wants his vision back? Or does it mean that he wants to summon the faith to pray for a promise of God to be given to him so that he could finally see? Jesus barely pauses. In an instant, go, your faith has made you well. It's done. Bartimaeus can see the people in front of him. The sun hurts his newly functioning eyes. Everything's kind of blurry to him, but he sees. Life is fulfilled for him. Even if he were to die the very next day, he has not only found God, God has found him. His life matters. He means something to God. And God means the world to him because of Jesus, the Son of David. The Gospel of Mark records, immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. I think every one of us can relate to Bartimaeus or part of Bartimaeus to understand that there are things that God has to do for us that we can't do for ourselves. Bartimaeus immediately followed Jesus. Our question is, will we go on the way with Jesus too? We've been asking every Sunday morning, who is Jesus Christ? And Bartimaeus gives us one answer. He's the Son of David. That title for Jesus doesn't have much meaning or punch for us today, but back in the first century in Palestine, it meant a great deal. Just mentioning the word David would make people well up with hope to think about the future promises of God. David represented the golden era of Israel's glory days. David stood for all that had come before the dark times, the times of exile, and the time of living under one foreign oppressor after another. It was actually genius for Bartimaeus to invoke the Son of David. The phrase would instill joy in all who heard it. So maybe it's no coincidence that we hear Jesus identified this way by a man who badly needed some hope, an infusion of healing, a man whose life was a long string of misery. As the Son of David, Jesus brought hope and healing to the marginalized folks who needed it most. Mark passes on to us the name of a poor beggar whom Jesus healed to impress on us, those of us who continue the compassionate work of Christ today must go to the poor and the disenfranchised and the powerless and the nearly invisible, to people who can see. Christ is the Son of David, the incarnation of hope, the dream of deliverance, the embodiment of joy. Those are all gifts that desperate people need and want to have. It's so often we in the church seem content to keep God's hope to ourselves, not allowing it to overflow in abundance to those on the streets where so very many are nearly invisible. One long, hot summer in a place called St. John's, there came into town a man with a big tent, which he set up at the corner of Lombard and Clarendon Streets with a sign posted, "The Great Marcel and His Fabulous Snake Show." He was dapper and slim. He wore a stovepipe hat and a cutaway coat. And when the crowds thronged around the tent that night and the oil torches flickered their light, a slender young lady came forward and did a dance with live snakes. He promised that the oil from these snakes, which he had bottled and manufactured, would cure corns, calluses, lumbago, colds, indigestion. It was particularly effective with private diseases. Best of all, it was only $1 a bottle. $1. Everyone agreed it was worth a try, and for years afterwards, no one could open a drugstore in St. John's because Marcel's fabulous snake oil was good for everything. And everybody had snake oil in their cabinets. There have always been healers. Some have gotten rich exploiting the pain of desperate folks with nowhere else to turn. Maybe that's why Jesus so often, after he healed someone, he asked them not to tell anyone. He didn't want to be called healer anyway. He preferred to be called rabbi, teacher. He didn't come to exploit, but to explain the way of life. And as we heard him explain to his disciples last week, his way was the way of the cross. I'm sure at this point not all the 12 were on board with that, but still, his way, his compassion for people would not let him ignore those who were constantly pleading for help. Bartimaeus was just one of them, and he was immeasurably blessed when he met Jesus. Today, Jesus asks each of us the same question he asked Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? What answer will we give? Deliverance from an unhealthy relationship? A cure for a destructive addiction? A boost to our sagging self-worth? The question sounds almost too good to be true. Imagine what that question sounded like to a blind beggar in Jericho. You remember when you were kids, at least when I was a kid, we would sometimes play the imaginary game, if you could have three wishes, what would those wishes be? You know, list them in priority. Bartimaeus got his wish. The NIV records, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The NRSV has the more literal translation of that little three-letter Greek word that I mentioned last Sunday. Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. That is to say, his wish became the way. The way of Jesus. Amen.